CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Clear your throat, get ready for the day. Come on. Start this shit properly. All right, good morning. We got Leanne Mole here with a nice, what is that, coffee or tea? What do you got there?
Green and mint tea.
Green and mint tea. Have you had your coffee this morning, Bolelo?
No. There's a whole, I got a whole thing.
It's a ritual. It's a ritual.
Supposed to stop, neuroscientists say you should avoid caffeine for the first 2 hours of your day.
No, you're joking. Newfangled shit is this? That's the whole point of coffee.
The Europeans must be so happy with that.
Hold on a second. That is the whole point of coffee, is to give you a little spike in the morning, right? Nonsense.
Some people say it's for the health benefits, but it's like a circadian thing. You know, I'm big on having the same day the whole time. So first 2 hours, you're supposed to, you know, the neuroscience is pretty clear on this one.
You maniac. You read the wrong science. There's lots of different versions of that science that you're talking about. There's different reports every day. You can twist this. Don't you know? Haven't the politicians taught you anything? You can turn the science to your viewpoint with one or two opposing studies. That's all.
You're basically an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, you are. That's what you've just said. You're an anti-caffeine person. That's what you are.
No. I mean, I'm offended by that. Yeah. That offends me.
Well, get used to it. There's a whole lot more of that coming right at you. All right. How's everybody? How was the weekend? Anything fun happen?
Jeez. There's so many natural disasters at the moment.
What?
That my dreams are kind of filled with them.
What?
I think it started with our little earthquake, which I didn't even feel on Friday. And then there were another three yesterday, apparently.
Right.
There are these massive rock falls happening in India. Turkey's wildfires, which are engulfing residential buildings.
That's the first one I know about is the Turkish fires, because I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah. And Greece as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gee, that's two countries. That's so weird. Then I realized.
They're right next door to each other.
Fires don't know from borders.
Exactly.
That my dreams have been so dramatic.
Well, I'm glad
I've just woken up from one that's, I was just watching the skyline being engulfed in storms.
Jesus. Being
Where's Dr. Hanan when we need him?
Well, he's on this morning, so you're lucky. But we're going to be talking to him about Simone Biles and quitting because of your mental health, and he's got a very strong opinion on this, which I think is going to upset some people, and it's going to make other people think, and hopefully more of the latter than the former. But you have a weird, wild dream imagination. I mean, you've always had these very, very realistic dreams. You've always had these incredibly, extremely detailed, imaginative dreams. That's what goes on in your head when you sleep. Bolelo and I were talking, and he was saying that someone came into the office the other day and said that they hadn't slept properly one of the nights last week. They hadn't slept at all. And then two people at the office got into this conversation about how, well, it must have been the full moon last night, because that's, that keeps people up. Now, it's weird, because I think the full moon was two Saturdays ago. So first of all, it couldn't have been the full moon, because the full moon is already over for this particular lunar cycle. It was on a Saturday. I remember looking up and seeing a perfect circle, a full moon, and it was bright. And I happened to sleep pretty well that night, but, maybe I'm the outlier. There are people who believe that when the moon is full, you can't sleep properly. And Bolelo started.
Not only that,
he started laughing.
Huge mood swings as well.
Well, it's possible that some people have huge mood swings regardless of what's going on in the surrounding universe. I mean, some people, the universe is in their head and they are completely self-absorbed, and their mood swings are an important part of what happens on their day. But if the moon really did affect us, and Bolelo started laughing when people said, oh, the full moon, that's why I didn't sleep properly.
How, How do you laugh though when you believe in circadian rhythms?
Well, I think the circadian rhythm is a sort of evolutionary adaptation to all of us. It's, it's only four billion years of evolution.
Here's the thing about the moon and affecting our moods or not making us sleep well. If that was a universal truth, which it seems that the people who are in favor of full moon not sleeping well as a theory, I, by the way, do not have a position on this. I really don't. I think that humans only know what humans know, and to claim to know more is a little bit ridiculous. But these people who claim that the moon will affect the way that you sleep, right? And if there's a full moon, you won't sleep properly. They have to explain why, if that is universally true, and that human beings generally do not sleep as well when the moon is full, they have to give us some, they have to cite some kind of study, or they have to give us some kind of proof that this affects all people. Because if it only affects some people, then it is not true. I mean, you understand this, right? Like, if it makes everyone on Earth sleep badly, then it would be on the news every month. They'd go, people, you know, all you humans, just get ready, because tomorrow obviously is full moon and none of you are going to sleep, so it's going to be completely shit for you the next day. So what we'll do is we'll just declare the next day a public holiday. I mean, we would have made every full moon day after a public holiday. That's what, because humans would have looked and go, oh no, there's the full moon. That means I'm not sleeping tonight. So tomorrow is definitely not a good work day. You know what I mean?
It would have been, like, we're not going to school tomorrow because there's going to be massive snow.
Right, correct. I mean, we would have found a way of integrating that into our lives. On your calendar, on your phone, it would say, "Oh, full moon. Oh, no sleep for you." You know, that's kind of not. I mean, it's not. I'm willing to believe that the moon, if it can affect the oceans, which it does, we know about tides, right? There's a high tide and low tide every 12 hours. We also know that it affects various other things about the Earth, the wobble on our axis, and you know, it's the satellite to Earth. It's a fairly large astronomical body. It's by astronomical terms, it's close to the Earth, so it's bound to have gravitational effect. It's entirely possible that we are creatures of the Earth, and that we are therefore affected by the Earth's closest astronomical body. Right. I get that. That's possible. But you know what's also possible? It's also possible that there is a teapot that's orbiting the Earth, and it's made of aluminium, and it is secretly issuing orders to Leanne Moll right now while we're talking. That's entirely possible. You can't prove me wrong.
Yeah. It's the same as astronomy in general. You know, if and every time I read my star sign, no,
that's
out of interest.
That's astrology.
Astrology. Please, sorry,
you want Professor David Block.
Stephen Hawking just turned in his grave.
You want Professor David Block to jump up and down and start screaming? That's what you say to him. Astronomy is not astrology, and astrology is not astronomy. So they get very.
It's like so. My mom and I are born on the same day, and so it's very easy for me to read my star sign and think. Well, then, if it's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to my mom.
Exactly.
And also, if it says in general, Gemini's, you know, July is going to be an amazing month for you in terms of money, that would be in the news. All the Geminis winning the lottos and exactly. having money mistakenly right. flying into their accounts.
Sure. No. Geminis are going to have a great month. And all the other star signs go off. Oh, we're not even going to go to work. It's going to be a disaster for us. The Geminis are going to get all the money this month. But there are people who live by this stuff. And
it's so true.
You know, let's not completely make a mockery of it, because if it wasn't originally for people being obsessed with what was going on the outside of the Earth, then we wouldn't have developed astronomy. We wouldn't have paid any attention to the planets or the stars or anything else. And there is no doubt that in the huge cosmos in which we are a tiny little speck, all of that stuff is not centered around you and me and our moods for the month because of a horoscope, obviously. But there are things about that whole situation that we're just so infinitesimally small that it doesn't make any difference to the universe whether we're there or not. And the universe could quite easily have some violent explosion in some corner of it that would rock our worlds, literally. It'd turn us into dust overnight. You know, there are episodes of violence and pressure and temperature in the history of the universe that are so extreme that there is no Hollywood movie that could make it up. I mean, it's just, it's the size and scale of these things is extraordinary, too broad for our imaginations, even a great imagination like yours, Leanne. And I think about people who, you know, they reckon that today's going to be a great day because the first three robots they encountered on their way to work were all green. As if everything has conspired in order to give you a signal that today is your day, because that's how special you are. And that's the same as people who on social media go on a rampage and they start tweeting about something as if this is going to be their magnum opus. This is their greatest creation. People are going to forever retweet them and they're going to be famous and important because of this. There are people who are that self-absorbed that they think that the whole world is actually just a big video game in which they are the central player. And it's fine if that's how you feel, if that's how you think everything works, you know, good for you. If you can keep that up, despite the fact that there is overwhelming evidence to the contrary on every single given day, and that your solipsism and your self-absorption are the only factor in making it possible for you to believe that everything's centered on you, great. Like, have a go. I mean, like, I almost envy that. Because sometimes I look around at strange things happening and I go, oh, why me? And then I suddenly realize, no, the universe does not care about the specific circumstances of your 100-year span here. It's busy with a much longer-term plan.
Yeah, and the same applies to religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is God going to help a certain Olympian get gold and not the other? You know.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I prayed.
So you speak of that.
I prayed, and yet my aunt still got COVID. Oh, it's so unfair, you know?
Oh, yeah. God only tests the strongest soldiers. Mm. So, you know.
What were you going to say before I interrupted you?
No. Speaking of that, this morning, my Uber driver, this morning made me realize I might be a terrible person.
Why?
It rarely happened. I was just like, okay, hey, is business picking up because of the weekend? Obviously, the rugby was on. And, you know, whenever the Springboks win or lose, I think they affect the economy more than anybody in this country, maybe on this continent.
Maybe.
So, because Oaks are going to get chassite either way. And I said to guy, oh, how's the weekend? Hey. And he said, no, business was average. I said, what are you talking about? Even Saturday? And he said, oh, yeah, I don't do it on Saturday. So I was like, oh, what do you mean? He goes, no, I don't work on Saturdays. So I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, oh, no, I pray on Saturdays. But because that's so far outside of my world, then I stopped talking to him because I found it so ridiculous what he was saying. But I realized that makes me a bad person. Like, he can pray whenever he wants. Wow. But I had nowhere to go after God came up, you know?
No, well, you are a bad person. Like, so there's not much to discuss there anyway. You really? No. You don't care. I know you don't give a shit if people think you're a bad person or something. But look.
I didn't.
I've become a lot more open-minded about these things. I've become a lot less of a dickhead, I hope, and I certainly, I'm trying. I'm consciously trying not to be. Because, Leanne, you remember how I used to be about religion. I was a militant atheist. I was actually unpleasant with my constant need to denigrate religion and make fun of it. And if anyone, even some innocent, happy person, strayed into my path during that kind of conversation, they'd literally be taken out. Like they were just like an antelope just eating in the forest. And I'd come along like a fucking bulldozer and just ruin the entire universe for them. And it was so unnecessary. And I suppose it gave me a feeling of superiority at some point. And at that stage, maybe that was more important to me than what they needed to believe.
Not only that, it was because I felt the same way, and in many ways I still do. It's that absolute disbelief and that wanting people to see that they're wrong.
Well, yeah, but it's more important to you at that point that you want them to see the world the way you see it, right? Which was, that's kind of where I was. And that was just, it was such a dumb thing to do because I see so many people now fighting about masks or vaccines or Simone Biles or whatever it might be. And I look at them and I go, you're fighting about this thing because you so badly want the other person to see the world the way you see it. But it's kind of, it's more interesting that you don't see the world the same way. And if I'm not attached to the way you see the world and you're not attached to the way I see the world, we can get along pretty well. We don't have to have carbon copy ideas of how everything works. If you don't like masks and I do, great. So then you wear your mask and I won't. The only difficulty I have with humans and with religion and with all of these things that we disagree on in our worldview is that you don't have the right to tell other people how to live their lives, right? That's all. You can do, you for you, you can have anything you like, and I'll never stand in your way. And if you want to believe in that aluminium teapot that's spinning around the earth, that's your business. If you want to believe in horoscopes, that's your business. And I'm not going to be the douchebag at the party who says, this chick believes in teapots. She's an Aquarius. I'm not going to rip you off. I'm not going to be nasty. I'm not going to be cruel like I once was. But in return, I expect that you also will just let me be and let me do my thing. And if we can remember that rule and our bubbles of influence and our bubbles of personal space don't overlap, we won't have a problem with each other ever. And I think this goes for like relationships, this goes for friendships, it goes for family, it goes for all of those things. If you can remember, oh, it feels to me like my bubble's pushing against yours, so something's got to give, or we've got to come to an agreement on this. If humans could be aware enough of that, and I'm not there yet, but I'm going to die trying, I promise you, then we would have no conflict, or certainly no conflict of any serious consequence. That would be good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be good. So I'm not going to be mean about your horoscope if you promise not to tell me what to do by making public policy that works actively against my position. That's good. Then we're friends, you know? That's why politicians piss all three of us off so much, is because they do. They think they're in a position to tell us what to do all the time. And that's not on. You know, you don't get to do that. Sorry. Nobody does. And then these people go, oh, but if we didn't have the rules, then everyone would go crazy because people are all insane. And there's a good argument for that. Like if you look around and we didn't have any rules about anything, you know, people would just drive on whichever side of the road they wanted and all the rest. Sure. You know what? I think there's natural law. I think natural law will weed out those people who are just generally disagreeable and refuse to be part of a society, because they'll be killed. They'll just eventually be killed by their own stupidity. Of course, you can drive on whichever side of the road you want if there are no rules, but you're going to be hit by a car a lot more frequently than those of us who decide to stick to the rules.
Over and over, you know, and over again.
You're going to be hit by so many cars that eventually you're going to go, this is not worth it anymore, or you'll just be dead, right? So at some point, these rules didn't come about because someone sat in a room and arbitrarily thumb-sucked, oh, let's do the left, because some countries do the right, you know? There's proof of we can look around us and see that now. And what happened wasn't that people who invented cars, like the original car manufacturers like Ford back in the early 1900s, those people didn't go, well, let's have a road network and we'll have traffic circles and we'll have robots and we'll have highways. They didn't think of any of that. They invented the car, and the car went along whatever tracks and roads happened to exist at that time. And maybe what they'd do is they'd only have a single track. So if another car came along, you'd have to pull over to the side of the road, let them through, and then you'd carry on. Who knows? Then they eventually thought, let's come up with two ways of doing this. And then eventually the rule was, you stay on that side, I'll stay on this side. We put the driver closest to the center line, or we put the driver on the opposite side. And whatever worked better, we stuck with. We didn't need a politician to just make something up.
There seems to be a bit of an echo. Sorry. Oh, no, it's gone now. But as George was explaining, it
came from... You mean Borge?
Borge, as Borge from Friday was explaining.
We were funny. Friday, none of us could take anything seriously. Sorry about that.
No. It had to do with carriages and swordsmen and left-handedness and right-handedness. And so it wasn't just made up by someone. It kind of evolved over centuries.
But you see, the same goes for all these other things. Like at the moment, I've got two really, really smart friends. They are the cleverest people I know of my age bracket. And they both live overseas, and they've started this group with just the three of us on WhatsApp. And I hardly ever join in because the time difference is so big. You know, Charles in Dallas and Eric's in Vancouver. So the two of them, when they're up, I'm asleep. Or there's a big enough time difference for it to not be, you know, at a time where all of us can talk. Anyway, the two of them were having a full go at each other about masks, and they're both really smart people. So it helped that I respect them both and I care about their point of view. And one of them was saying he doesn't understand why we don't just have a universal mask mandate and force everybody to wear the masks, and he doesn't see a problem with it. And he thinks it's selfish and stupid of people not to, despite the fact that the vaccine is like 90-something%, 97 or 98% effective. And the two of them were having a full-on argument, which I woke up to this morning. I'm glad I didn't get involved because I actually don't know where I stand on this and I haven't thought about it much. But the two of them each proffered a fairly good argument of why they should have a universal mandate for this or shouldn't. And the one is like, you have to get vaccinated and government should just force you to, otherwise you shouldn't be allowed to do anything. And the other one is like, hang on, you're not allowed to do that as the government. Who gives you the right to force me to wear this? You can't tell me what to wear as the government. That's not on. And it was just interesting to see how these two very smart people, who certainly I think they're smart, were navigating this argument without having to become rude to each other, without having to be you know, there was respect between them the entire way through it. And I haven't read the whole thing in detail because it was, you know, half an hour before we started the show that I looked at it. And I thought, this is something I'm going to sit down and read properly. Because it's not just happening on this group of ours. Everybody's having these arguments at the moment. Everyone is.
Yeah. I think, you know, as a journalist and as a person in general with a personality where I've always been able to see both sides, this is one time where I'm battling to do that. So I'll give you my opinion immediately, and that's that the majority of us should be vaccinating. I don't believe we should be forced to. But that was interesting for me that it's one of the first times that I've had a really strong opinion about it. Mm-hmm. But also it's where I think the situation might resolve itself. You know, carried with that belief comes, okay, so those who don't believe it won't be vaccinated.
Yeah.
But perhaps they'll be, I don't wish it upon them at all, but perhaps it'll become clearer when those are the people becoming ill.
Oh, well, if that's the case, because they're also those people who've been vaccinated who are getting sick. That's what's happening in countries where they have lots of vaccinations.
Not to such a bad extent.
Well, yes. No, look, but, yeah. I'm not going to argue with you because I think we, in principle, you said at the very beginning, you said you shouldn't be forced to, and that I agree with. So you go ahead, you get vaccinated. My parents have, a whole bunch of my friends got registered. Some of them are like huge propagandists for vaccinations. Great. You go for it. They're like, they support the vaccinations. Please, everybody get vaccinated. And that's cool. And then there are one or two people, and they are in the minority. And we'll see, you know, how this pans out, because it might go the way that the majority seem to think it's going to go, and the way that vaccinations have always gone for humans, which is positive. And then we'll all go, cool, let's get back to normal. But there might just be a small group of outliers who are being cautious for perfectly sensible reasons. Like, they, you know, they keep saying, well, these haven't really been tested. We don't know the longitudinal comparisons and results over time. So let's see what happens.
So the thing is, they have been tested. They've passed phase three, which is the final phase for any vaccine.
Yeah, but Leanne, again, you know, people are saying now we need to do this to children. Okay, we need to vaccinate them, even though children are not at all at risk of COVID. Now, that requires more than these three phases of testing. It requires the long tail of time to figure out whether there are potential dangers in these things. I mean, we know, for example, that there were lots and lots of people who've died through the course of human history in trying different mushrooms or in trying different fruits. And sometimes it took a few generations for people to figure out which one was dangerous and which one wasn't. And science is still a totally objective thing. It doesn't really care how we feel about these things. What it's interested in is the hard numbers. And the hard numbers in this have unfortunately been a source of great conjecture throughout the course of coronavirus, because we have been lied to by governments. We've been lied to by people like that Professor Ferguson at Greenwich University, who told us that millions of people, millions, like he said, upwards of 10 million people are going to die of this before we've even figured out what to do about it. And he was completely wrong. And every step along the way, we've had people twist statistics to try and make it seem like this thing is different to what it actually is. And now they're trying it with, you know, very young children, and they've also got to get vaccinated. And no one's even talking, for example, about natural immunity. No one's talking about the fact that once you've got coronavirus, it's unlikely you will get it again. Highly unlikely. No one's talking about that, because it's easier to just, let's have this vaccine conversation, because I can just borrow on authority. I'll just take, you know, the great Dr. Fauci's view on this, or I'll just take, you know, the 10 scientists who I like to quote on this. And the people who are in the opposite position may also have perfectly good evidence on their side. The fact is, you can't get emotional about this, and some people are getting emotional about it, and that's where it all gets unraveled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you've got to consider
heavy Monday,
some people,
guys.
No, sorry.
Some people were born in Edenvale, and if you can survive living in Edenvale, what the hell is coronavirus going to do?
Nothing. Yes, you're immune. You're basically immune. So just before we get,
I mean, I was born literally next to one of those big towers in Edenvale, and I'm still here, and I've made it quite far. I've outlived.
That's what I'm saying.
The general age from a few centuries ago.
That's true. I just want to show you something quickly that someone sent to me and said, "Is this Leanne Moll?" So take a look at this. This is a woman. It's obviously, she's much older than you, but this is how you could be in another 10, 20, 30 years, Leanne, depending on obviously how well or poorly you age. But someone asked if this is you, and it's someone who listens to the show every day. So I thought, you know what? This is a good question. Let's actually ask you, because you'll know better than anyone else. So here, take a look at this and see if you agree. This could be Leanne Moll. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house.
Six,
7 days a week.
Ten ass puss.
Make that pillow game weak.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've got some wet ass pussy.
And I'm
with this wet ass pussy.
Isn't that great? That's just magnificent.
You know, we've been talking about things we believe in or don't believe in, and strange phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
I follow her on TikTok because, mm-hmm. and I send those to my family and say, this is me. There's one that I sent just yesterday where she's wearing a gown exactly the same color that I was wearing, and she's sorting out her medication in those pill boxes, singing to whatever rap in the background.
Right.
It is me to an absolute T.
So you agree?
So, a spot on.
Very good.
Spot on. I'm already like that. I actually checked her age, and I thought, is she the same age as me? But no, she's about 15 years older. But I'm there.
Obi Kenobi says, what a groovy old duck. Yeah, she is. I just love that she's singing Wet Ass Pussy. I mean, that's...
she does a whole lot of the rap songs.
That's
and
so great.
Knows every single word and just sings her own tune. She's either baking scones, doing her pulls, knitting something, playing a puzzle. Yeah.
So that she's well known on YouTube, this woman?
TikTok.
Oh, TikTok.
Sorry, TikTok.
All right. Yeah. See, yeah. I'm not on there, so Angaz. I have no idea. I'm not opening up a TikTok account. I'm dead against it. I'm not supporting.
Oh my god, it's so much fun.
I know.
Oh, it's so much fun.
But you know what? You can get them anyway from people who are reposting them on other media. So
you don't get it all.
I'm okay
Gareth,
with that.
You won't believe the what you can see. You would be amazed.
This is one of the few.
A lot of it I actually can't even mention to you because it's so controversial.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. You know what? This is one time.
You can see anything.
This is one time in my life where I'm going to take willful ignorance on board. If I go down this path, it's going to take up so much of my time, and I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. Please, I've got enough to do. I'm not bored enough yet. If it happens, I'll let you know. But I don't think it's on the agenda. FOMO is not a very me characteristic. What did we decide it's called when you have the fear of not missing out? I mean, you
want to miss out.
Yeah, you want to miss out. Need to miss out. NOMO or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I can't remember.
You know, for me, I didn't decide, I want to become a TikToker or watch TikTok or anything like that. You know, I've always enjoyed watching videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is a lot of the people who are on TikTok are just reposting on YouTube. So I found myself watching these spliced short TikTok videos put into one long one on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's what led me to look at some accounts, happened to look at some, and now I see that the formula is so much better than watching these things on YouTube. And that there's a whole lot more to find out.
Well, Tracy's just reminded me, we call it JOMO, joy of missing out. That's it.
Oh, that's right.
Stink Mina ZA says 6 days left until we've had 500 days of lockdown. Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. Lots of people saying TikTok is just too addictive. And Ethereum saying it's damn algorithm. It's the best when you're sitting on the toilet, says Shani.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good. That's very good.
One minute segments. Perfect.
Silicide says, I'm with you, Gareth, on the TikTok. No TikTok. Sven says, don't do it. Abe says, YOMO. YOMO? I think JOMO. I'm not sure what YOMO is, but okay. Good, good, good. Gareth, I agree with you. TikTok will cause mass GBH. What's GBH?
By grievous bodily harm.
Oh, grievous bodily harm by selfie sticks one day. Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to ban TikTok for anyone, but I don't want it, right? Michael says, humans have never had the emotional maturity to discern a wise use of technology. No. There are some who have. And some of these people going to space and doing interesting stuff. It's not all of us that are dumb and addicted. I mean, like, I might be some of the time, but it's not me all the time. I'm just looking through some other comments here. That is so Leanne.
Yeah, we built a large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, exactly. Jenna says, that is so Leanne. And then Tato saying, I woke up to Leanne 20 years later this morning in that clip. Correct. All right, it's time for some headlines. Let's look at what's going on in the world. Leanne said earlier that there are all these natural disasters happening everywhere, but we'll come a bit closer to home for starters. From ENCA, this story is about Alexandra and the residents there that feel the impact of the looting. So many weeks later, many businesses destroyed during looting in Joburg's Alexandra Township remain closed as they assess whether it's worth rebuilding. Alex residents hope shops can reopen soon as they're having to travel much further for these basic goods. And there are lots and lots of people who are feeling, you know, particularly stymied by the fact that they now have to go much, much further to get things that used to be just on the doorstep. So if you are in that situation in Alex, then, you know, we're thinking of you. There's an inheritance battle involving the Zulu royal family, and it's carrying on in the courts in Pietermaritzburg. I know, it's ridiculous, right? The last batch of affidavits before the Pietermaritzburg High Court is set to hear oral arguments on several matters pertaining to the dispute involving members of the Zulu royal family. Mango Sutuportelezi has laid out why he insists that Queen Spongile Dlamini Zulu, married the late King Goodwill Zwelithini the traditional way. In his affidavit, this is so complicated because a lot of this stuff is not written down. It's not one. You can't consult some book and then it's all written there. These are the Zulu traditions. So Mango Sutuportelezi believes he knows what these traditions are. Then there's some other Nkosi or whoever who says, no, he knows better. And all it's going to lead to is argument. And, you know, you see this come up when ever the Zulu royal family make the news for any reason, good or bad, is that suddenly all these traditions pop up that none of us have ever heard of before. And some of them are traditions, and some of them have just been made up on the spot. And if you want credibility, we have to eventually have, like, all these Nkosis and Dunas, they all need to get together and they need to write it down, because that's the only way that humans are able to revert to what's what's written down. Otherwise, you're just going to make it up. Nobody's going to know what's going on, and it's going to remain this mysterious thing where you end up in court trying to solve the problem. Anyway, Lobolo is part of this.
By the way, that's our money they're fighting over.
I know.
They get taxed. I know. Like, you know my thoughts on royal families.
Don't like this at all. Anyway, there are people challenging the validity of the first five wives, and people are saying that the Queen Regent was more important than the Swazi Queen, and it's just turning into a big he said, she said thing, and nobody knows the truth because it's not written down. So it's really your word against mine. And guess what happens then? Nothing. Nothing good anyway. Oh, this is nice. Government have put up the petrol price. And don't do what a lot of people will do and say, oh, this is about the cost of oil internationally. It isn't. This has got nothing to do with that. This is all about the government, which has decided to increase the price of petrol by 54 and 55 cents per liter in August. And for diesel, by the way. So this is going to happen, not because of the petrol prices, but because they're adding a new levy to it. They're adjusted on a monthly basis, informed by international and local factors. And the international factors included South Africa imports both crude oil and finished products at a price set at international levels. But for the period under review, they're putting up the levies. So this is just a way for government to get more money out of you without actually putting up the tax, right? Who do we believe? Do we believe these people who we put in charge and who keep trying to extract money from us? Who knows? Anyway, Tito Mboweni, speaking of what the government are doing, he's the Minister of Finance. He has unleashed a relief package, but he warns that South Africa's finances are under huge pressure. You don't say. I mean, really, this finance minister should be. We should have some varied opinions in cabinet, and I hope there are. He should be the one saying, end the lockdown now. Stop it immediately. And the health minister, or the acting health minister, because we don't have a health minister at the moment, should be saying, lockdown. And then the two of them should have an argument about it publicly so we can see who we agree with more. And we can go, you know what? He's on the right page. Or the acting health minister seems to know more about this. But instead, we don't even know if there's anyone in cabinet at the moment who's against lockdowns. We don't know if there's anyone in cabinet who even cares about the economic consequences of this. We don't know, for example, if there is anyone in cabinet who's hugely for lockdowns and who those people might be. And these are the people we elect,
so we
should know.
It's just a whole big mystery, isn't
it? It's a big mystery. It's a big...
It's because it's run like a chiefdom, not a government.
Exactly.
It's... Listen, let me not put you in this position, but, due to your ancestors... Your melanin count isn't what mine is, so it's difficult to say this if you're not black. It's you can't run global economy like a chiefdom. You have to let smart people rule. You don't just get your blood is not a divine right on money. Money doesn't care about your blood right. Like it's a black thing, Buffett. We need to get over this tribal mentality. And Cyril's not a chief. We like people praise him like a chief. He's not. He's an administrator. End of. Oh, and boy. That needs education. And, man. But, hey, what do you do, you know? Just keep on cracking on.
Well, exactly. I have to make some more ethanol, says Corona's Boring. Would anyone like to buy some rum? So there's some chances. Anyway. Carl is saying it's 90 odd cents, not 50. Okay, so that I may have got the numbers wrong on that. That was from IOL, so who knows if it's true. I mean, we've already figured out that they're fake news, right? So who knows?
Oh dear.
So do we know where we are in terms of fuel price sort of pre-lockdown to where we are now?
No.
Like, are we back to where it was? Okay, nobody's kind of...
I also question that and also the fact that it goes up and down all the time. So... You know, I don't get excited or upset about it anymore. It's the same as saying Monday's going to be 20 degrees and Tuesday's going to be 22, but then Wednesday's going to be 20 again.
By the way,
so what?
Dogozo agrees with Mbulelo here, says, but the ANC won't educate people, Mbulelo. They want to keep people dumb. I've heard that argument a lot, and there's plenty of evidence for that if you're looking for it. Trust me. Okay, let's turn our attention to something we all want to talk about, and we did discuss briefly last week, and it's something that Dr. Hanan has some strong opinions on too. So this is what we do on a Monday morning. We have something called It's Going to Be Okay with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, and he is someone who can speak with authority on mental health, and there have been a lot of pedestrians who've been talking about mental health in the last little while. People who really aren't necessarily more qualified or able to discuss it in a sensible and objective way. And everybody's got an opinion on things like Simone Biles, which is the big story of the Olympics last week. It's amazing. There was this cartoon where they showed...
And today, she's declined another two events today.
Well, there's this great cartoon that I saw over the weekend of, you know, the person who came first, second, and third in the various events that she would have participated in. And then she's doing this leap right over them with a mental health podium. And we've got to talk about whether or not this is something we need to take seriously or whether it's something silly. And also whether or not it's a story that affects many of us or whether it just affects Simone Biles. And the only person I could think of to really help us navigate this is Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He's with us now. And we're going to chat to him about the importance of mental health and whether or not there is a very good case to be made for someone who's able to ascertain that they're not in control of a situation and that they remove themselves from it, and whether that isn't actually the best possible way to understand mental health. So here he is. Dr. Hanan, nice to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you guys. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Makes our Monday better to know that you're going to be here. So we talk about mental health every week here on the show. First of all, I think a lot of people think they know what that means, but they don't. And maybe you can explain that to us. I saw a YouTube clip of yours where you explain it very well. And then we can talk a little bit about quitting and whether or not quitting is just weakness and you know, a lack of strength or character or courage, or whether being able to do what Simone Biles did is actually a great statement of how we should all be thinking about ourselves. So you start us off on mental health, because it seems to me this definition is getting broader and broader by the day.
And that's actually the issue. The issue is that when you define mental health in such broad strokes, you think you're doing it much service. You think you're destigmatizing it, but all you're doing is completely stigmatizing it. Us as human beings, we don't like things that we don't understand.
Yeah.
And if you're defining something in a broad way or with using broad brushstrokes, then naturally people want to move away from it because we don't understand it. So certainly mental health is way too much of a broad statement, because what does it mean? And I'll take it a step further. When we define depression and anxiety and bipolar, or any other diagnosable condition, what does it mean as well? It's so people think they're doing this, it's called the mental health warriors. They think they're doing this a great service by saying, I'm depressed and I'm proud and I'm anxious and I'm proud and I'm owning it. But my opinion is you're actually stigmatizing it, because you're putting forward a description that people do not understand. So I've raised this
also
before, you know.
Also, these people who do that, you call them mental health warriors. That's an interesting new term we'll use in our lexicon from now on. But these people are very often the very worst advertisement for this condition. I mean, they are precisely the people no one wants to be, and most of them are completely self-absorbed and not necessarily on top of any of the terminology they use. They're just climbing onto a bandwagon very often.
Completely. And the problem is that, again, when you're using a term such as I'm depressed and therefore that gives me permission to do X, Y, and Z, I'm anxious and that gives me permission to do X, Y, and Z, the truth is, no, it doesn't work that way, because we all human beings at some point are going to go through depression and anxiety and insecurity and guilt and frustration and anger and resentment. That is life. But the moment it starts affecting you and the people around you in a way that is consequential, that's when it becomes a problem. Let's move away from it's a mental health issue. Right. I'm saying it becomes a problem to you. So back in the 1950s, some doctors came along and said, let us group together a bunch of symptoms and give it names so we can control it better. That's the medical model of doing things. Mm-hmm. But in reality, psychology doesn't work that way. Because if you take, as an example, somebody that's suffering from a medical condition, let's just say they've got laryngitis, and you present this case to 100 doctors, and you say to these 100 doctors, this 21-year-old male has got laryngitis. All 100 would know what you're talking about, and all 100 will probably agree on a treatment protocol. Mm-hmm. But if you take a term such as depression, and you turn to 100 psychologists, and you go, this 21-year-old male has got depression, all 100 would not know what the hell you're talking about, and all 100 will disagree on a treatment protocol.
Which does nothing to help psychologists with credibility either.
Or the patient.
Correct.
Or the patient. Because to diagnose you with the symptom as opposed to the cause does nothing to you and does nothing to the people perceiving you. So, for example, I'm suggesting that if you turn to somebody and you go, you're suffering from grief because of the loss of your father, that is a lot more palatable and understandable than you're suffering from depression. Because the moment, again, you say this person suffers from depression, society goes, I don't know what that means. That is a sickly disease. Is that contagious? Get that away from me. But if you turn to someone and go, this person has just lost their dad, who he was very close to, and he's suffering from grief, everybody's like, okay, I'm good with that. And I'm happy to help and show empathy and sympathy to that person.
Right.
So with regards to this notion of she quit because of her mental health, again, all these mental health warriors jump on the bandwagon and said, well done. And I'm saying, hold on one second. What does it mean? And I urge everybody and I challenge everybody to go, when somebody turns to you and say, I'm suffering from a mental health issue, you turn to them and you go, what does it mean? Define that for me. Mm-hmm. And of course, listen, they've got the right to tell you to piss off. And that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Nobody should be forced to tell you what that means for them. But I challenge everybody, if you're suffering from a mental illness, to define what does it mean to you, not the symptoms, but rather what is the cause of it, because that will empower you to go and deal with it.
So Dr. Hanan, you've given me a lot to think about in the last couple of seconds, and what you're saying is hugely important, and I hope that anyone who's listening to this who's still unsure of what you're talking about listens to it again, because I think you've been quite clear. But because mental health is this numinous thing, which is so ill-defined, and everybody thinks they have a definition of it, and they all think that their definition is the right one, and they appropriate to themselves the ability to define their own ups and downs and their own mood swings and their own state of being human, and they think that that is all that is required as a definition. And they go out into the world and they tell other people, I have X or Y mental health condition, because sometimes it's just something to talk about. Certainly on social media, that seems to be the case. When someone like Simone Biles decides for herself that she's in, I mean, I don't know whether she's been talking to doctors. None of us know. None of us have these details, right? And neither should we. It's personal. But she decided that it also needed to be public because she made that the reason that she pulled out of various events at the Olympics. I understand that if she was not in her best possible frame of mind in order to win, that it probably wasn't worth her going through some fairly dangerous maneuvers, even though she's an absolute expert at this, if she wasn't feeling 100%. Just like if you weren't feeling 100% and you were about to bungee jump, you might pull out, right? I mean, all of us have that ability to be able to judge for ourselves. Listen, this is not going to go well for me if I force myself to go through with this. But there is this question of quitting. There's this question of bravery, because we're now led to believe that it is courageous of her to have done what throughout human history has been the opposite of courage, to pull out, to hide away, to get out, to run, to seek refuge, or to just take a chill pill and to sit on the sidelines. How do we fix this, what seems like a dissonance?
So I had this conversation with a friend of mine last week, and when the story broke out that Simone quit due to a mental illness.
Yeah.
And I said to this friend, I don't believe it for 1 second. I do not believe it for 1 second because she has proven herself at the highest level. She's done this before. She's a gold-winning, medal-winning athlete. There's no ways that she quit because of a mental illness. And I was sent an article early this morning. I haven't had a chance to go through it properly, that apparently she stopped because of what she suffered from, what is termed the twisties, which is actually a physical condition where it's almost like a vertigo, where you can't orient yourself, which is understandable because right. The truth is if we said that she quit because of a broken neck, well, that would be understandable. We'd go, good for you, of course. So if she quit because of a physical reason, which makes sense to me, that I completely applaud. And of course, listen, nobody wants to see her get injured, certainly her and the people closest to her. But there's no way she quit because of a mental illness. She's got big match temperament, and she's proven it over and over and over again. But again, this notion of this broad brushstroke of I've got a mental health issue, and therefore I've got the right to leave is a little bit flawed. And again, I challenge everybody to not use the term mental illness. The way I want us to think about it, and I put a post on the Instagram about this, I want you to think about an issue when your environment overwhelms your skill set. Mm-hmm. So when your environment is stronger and more complex and more evolved than your skill set, then we have an issue. So naturally what we would do, we would either control the environment or up our skill set. We would naturally change the environment or up our skill set. That's the way it works, to feel in control over our environment. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's not possible. And I'll give you obviously an extreme analogy. If a lion came into the room, that's my environment, and my skill set is over there, clearly mm-hmm. me leaving the room would be the cleverest thing to do. You wouldn't call me a quitter. You wouldn't say this person doesn't have bravery. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. he's the cleverest person on earth because his intention is to survive. He knows he can't tackle the environment. He knows his skill set is no more complex than the environment. And therefore, leaving is 100% appropriate. So I challenge anybody to ask yourself, can you, one, change the environment? Or one, can you up your skill set? And if the answer is no and no, then leaving is 100% appropriate and probably the most intelligent thing you can do for sure.
Yeah, I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. I just want to bring up what Michael says here in the comments. Michael says, most mental health issues are emotional at their core and therefore not mental. The mental aspect is a symptom and seldom a cause. What do you think of that?
So I would tweak it. The truth is the emotional part is a symptom of something. So when the lion comes into this room, obviously, my brain perceives that lion as dangerous, and then my body starts reacting, my adrenaline, cortisol, all the chemicals necessary for me to survive, and then emotional fear comes up as well. So the first comes the perception of the danger, your body reacts, which is a symptom of the actual trigger.
You also said something else just now that I'd like to interrogate a little bit. You said you don't believe, when you heard the story about Simone Biles, you don't believe she had a real mental health issue. Now, you can say that because you're Dr. Hanan Bushkin and you're trained in mental illness and that kind of thing. If I say that, I'm called everything else under the sun. Now, there are lots of people I don't believe when it comes to these topics because I think a lot of it is about self absorption. I think a lot of it is about people who are just genuinely full of themselves and completely obsessed with their own internal condition. And this has become
And self-diagnosis is another.
Absolutely. And navel-gazing, frankly. And it gets you points in society these days. You know, you look at Simone Biles, she's a much bigger name now than she would have been if she'd just won gold because she did something dramatic and people all over the world who aren't doing anything dramatic but feel, oh, well, I also have the issue that Simone Biles have. They all feel good about themselves. So she's upped her social cred. I mean, you've seen this with Prince Harry. You've seen it with a number of other people. Suddenly, when you claim to have a mental health issue, then people go, oh, shame, that's incredible, because they have mental health issues, or they think they do.
Well, what does it mean? Again, I challenge you. What does it mean? And I'm not saying, by the way, that Simone Biles did not have a mental health issue. Who knows who was giving advice? But what I refuse to believe is that she quit because of her mental health issues. I don't believe that, because history has shown that she can. I mean, listen, apparently she's been raped by her coach or sexually abused by her coach many years ago.
She didn't bring that up at all as a reason, by the way.
But my point is, if anything was going to cause you to quit, it certainly would have been that event in the previous Olympics, but she didn't.
No.
So my take was that I'm not saying she wasn't suffering because of X, Y, and Z. I don't know her history, but I refuse to believe that she quit because of her mental health issues. And today's article proved that it was a physical thing, not certainly not a mental thing.
All right.
So, Dr. Khanan, I just wanted to ask you. A friend of mine had she had a little bit of a meltdown when I said this yesterday, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. I think there's a dissonance as well in this, is that my thing is I love sportsmen. They are my hero. So Simone Biles, all-timer, is. But I proposed this to her. I said, why are we more empathetic to millionaires who maybe have the softest life imaginable? Like, sportsmen have the softest. Why is it the outpouring is that? And nobody ever says the guy under the bridge, the woman under the bridge who's on drugs. And we all know now most people on drugs are self-medicating, is that there's no outpour of empathy in that direction. So I'm concerned that, like, what is this outpouring towards a gajillionaire who quite frankly has the softest life in the world versus the person next to you? Why is it that we look at these figures and we're so much nicer to these people? And like, she couldn't understand, because the argument immediately goes to, oh, well, she's giving permission to everybody else. But I go, just forget about that for a second. What about the man under the bridge? I know this person I'm talking about is, I've never seen you stop and ask them and outpour the empathy on social media for them to say, my God, this person's mental health led to them living under a bridge. How come that doesn't, nobody's having that conversation? And I worry that we're headed to the praise of celebrities to that point.
Hero worship.
I think we're over that already, Mbulelo. You know, as human nature, we like to make sense of our world. We like to feel control. And therefore we do two things. We group things, we put things in categories, and then we put a hierarchy to things. We say this is more valuable than that.
Mm-hmm.
And in society, we come together as a unit and we go, certain things are way more valuable than others. So money is more valuable than, let's call it, kindness. And celebrities are way more valuable than homeless people under a bridge. And people that are influencers on social media are more valuable than people that have 3 followers. So we put value to these things. In the real world, it doesn't really matter. In the real world, the fact that you have 1 million followers doesn't make you more influential in my world than somebody that's, you know, has 3 followers in my world. But society has graded these. They say this is more valuable than that. So to answer your question, your society says, well, millionaires are a lot more valuable to us than people living under the bridge. And I challenge everybody to speak to a person that doesn't have money, and to speak to a person that has 3 followers, and to speak to a person that in society is valued less. And you'll see that actually you will gain a lot more from them and their knowledge than the person that you perceive to be this mentor, this godly-like figure. The greatest lesson I've ever learned, certainly one of them, was, you know, back in the day before I started studying, I was teaching cricket to little youngsters. And this one of the exercises was to bounce a ball on a bat just to get your eye in. Mm-hmm. And after this exercise, I turned to each one of the kids that were about 6 years old, and I said to kid one, how many did you bounce? And he said 3. How many, the second one, how many did you bounce? 4, 5, 4, 3, 2. The one kid said 50. I said to this kid, I don't believe you. And he said, I did. I said, I don't believe you. Don't lie to me. And he pulls out the cricket bat and he's bouncing it over and over and over. And he must have made maybe even 60. And at that point, the 6-year-old made me feel this small. And I realized you never judge anyone. You take your value and you throw it, your value or your hierarchy ladder, and you throw it in the trash. You take every human as a human being that has value to offer, for sure.
Wow. So that's an impressive kid. So how long did you coach that kid?
Yeah.
I quit that afternoon.
You quit that afternoon, huh? Yeah.
No, it wasn't for me.
Well, that's brilliant. Okay, what a great story to end it on. Dr. Khanan, always good to have you on, and I hope we'll speak to you again next Monday. There's also an opportunity, if anybody has anything that you want particularly and seriously and individually addressed by Dr. Khanan, you don't mind us, we'll call you anonymous if you'd prefer. And we can deal with and unpack specific issues. We want to make this useful. We don't just want to make it a general discussion, and we don't just want to be talking in general terms about mental health. We want to find real ways of making your life better and making you understand some of the more complex issues that are going on in your brain chemistry, in your world, in your control. Those things, the ones that we want to address with Dr. Hanan. So next week, let us know what's up on your mind, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and I'll pass it on to Dr. Hanan. If you'd like to be anonymous, you just tell us and we'll keep it anonymous. It's that easy. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Dr. Hanan.
Thanks, guys.
Good to see
you next week.
There we go. Very good. Bye. Excellent. So here, someone says, Dr. Hanan is amazing. He's one of the best. He has one of the best analogies. Lifesaver. His conference yesterday, ABA, was mind-blowing. Okay, very nice. Watch Athlete A on Netflix, how the U.S. gymnastics knew about the sexual abuse cases going on and did nothing about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole, yeah. The gymnastics world is a rabbit hole. An ugly one.
Yeah. I hope Gareth is reading these comments, because this segment about Simone is being made too simple. Apparently she's been on Ritalin, which is banned in Japan, so she couldn't go. We don't know this. I mean, that's, you know, how do you know that? What's your source of it? What, you got a friend on the Japanese Olympic committee? You got someone in the U.S. athletics gymnastics team? Who?
Again. It is being said. It's being said across a number of media platforms.
Yeah.
That she has ADHD, which mm-hmm. Ritalin is used to control. And what makes me not poo-poo it immediately is my cousin, Taryn, as you know, was also a Springbok gymnastics, mm-hmm. gymnastic three times over, mm-hmm. and trained in Russia. And she has Tourette syndrome, and she was on Ritalin for that. And that can be seen as a performance enhancing drug as well.
Right.
So I don't poo-poo the story.
Well, it's possible.
She may have had ADHD and may have been on Ritalin.
Sure.
And if you come off Ritalin, you can't perform.
And she may have a fifth leg that she's concealing from us somewhere. But we don't know this. I mean, that's all pure conjecture, right?
At least when I had a third leg, I told you about it.
Three ads. Yeah. That's what we call you now, 3Anne. All right, when we come back, we'll have a whole lot more. I'd like to hear your comments on this and everything else that's going on. And you can get us on 0797482092. That is the WhatsApp line. But better to just comment live on YouTube if you are on right now. Let us know what's up. And by the way, if you haven't already, you need to like and subscribe. I have to keep remembering to say this to you. So it's Mbulelo and Leanne and I looking after you until 8 o'clock this morning. CliffCentral.com.